When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning Super Bowl edition. Scott Engel, Joe Galita, and Jim Day taking you to noon Eastern. We'll have some great guests this hour and next. Dan Graziano will join us, ESPN NFL Insider, 10:20. At 10:40 Eastern, Seahawks tight end Nick Vinette. And at 11:40 a.m. Eastern time, it'll be legendary New York Mets captain and third baseman David Wright. So let's do this before we get to the props. Here is my showdown lineup for today. Tom Brady is captain.
Is this DraftKings or FanDuel?
Yeah. We've been talking about DraftKings for an hour, so I think you might want to follow along.
I want everybody to know who you're talking about on one site. That's all.
All right. I don't know whether he's helping me or trying to trip me up, but I'll keep going.
Why would I try to trip you up, Scott? If I wanted to try and trip you up, I'd talk about how great Corey is.
So you'd lie again. You've already lied earlier in the show saying you'd never eaten White Castle outside of 2 a.m., which everybody lies about, and now you're going to tell
them. I don't lie about it. I've never eaten it outside of being drunk
right.
late at night.
Nobody wants
I don't like him.
Yeah. Tom Brady at 15,900 is my captain. Julian Edelman at 10,800. James White at 7,200. Chris Hogan at 3,800. Todd Gurley at 9,000. And Steven Gostkowski at 3,200. Joe,
well, we know which team you want to win the Super Bowl.
I don't care who wins the Super Bowl. Let him put up 40 points and lose. I don't care. Let me go on record before we move forward saying I don't care who wins. Okay, people say, who
but
are you?
But you expect New England to win.
I expect New England to win. People say, who are you rooting for? And that goes on two tiers before I digress here a little bit. First off, I never root for anyone once my team is out of it. I just watch football because I love football. Secondly, I know rooting against the Patriots has become a pastime. Everybody outside of Don Avenue in Boston is doing it. But I don't hate the Patriots. I'm not a fan. I don't hate him. I respect the hell out of Brady and some of the other players, Belichick.
But I'm not going to be rooting against.
Oh, yeah, no love for Josh McDaniels, though. You mentioned Belichick and Brady, even. No McDaniels?
Yeah, what's that? Why doesn't anybody ever bring up McDaniels?
Yeah, really.
I respect
him. He never gets the respect he deserves.
That doesn't mean I'm his fan, though. It's like, you know, I don't have a Josh McDaniels T-shirt or something like that. What I'm saying is, you know, I look at the Rams. I love Cooper Kupp. I taught Corey about Cooper Kupp. You know, I love Cooper Kupp. So yeah,
you know what happened with Josh McDaniels, though, right?
What?
He went to Indianapolis, and all I got was this stupid T-shirt.
You mean Indianapolis, the AFC runner-up batters? Yeah. Go ahead, Joe. What's your lineup?
So my lineup, we're playing. By the way, Jim, we're playing DraftKings here. Tom Brady as my captain. Got Rex Burkhead in there for $4,800. Julian Edelman, $10,800. Chris Hogan, $3,800. Sony Michel, $6,800. And Robert Woods, $7,800. And that's your winning lineup on DraftKings.
Oh, no, it's not. Here comes your winning lineup. Right here, right now. I got the Gronk in at my captain. Gronk, my captain, is going to go off today. I got Tom Brady and Jared Goff in the flex. Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, and Greg Zuerlein.
All right.
I kind of like it.
There's three lineups.
Yeah, that's a different one. Yeah. Got the kicker. You got Gronk in there. I like Gronk.
All right. Let's move on to the prop bets. And for that, we go over to the prop bet desk with Jim Day.
Look, everybody's been talking about all the regular prop bets, and then, of course, you know, how long is the national anthem going to be? What color Gatorade? So I tried to go through these.
Blue.
And yeah, blue.
Could you imagine?
Todd Gurley kind of let it out of the bag. He thinks it's going to be blue, so we'll see if that actually works. I always bet the orange just because it's been around the longest. But, you know, in some of these props, I try to come up some with that are going to be a little different than what most people, because let's face it, if you've been listening to radio all week, it's been prop bet week for everybody. Yeah. So I try to come up with a few that I thought weren't really talked about as much. So let's go with that. One of the ones I really like, and I'm going to start off with, is Todd Gurley as MVP at plus 1,600. You know what? If Todd Gurley is healthy, if he is going to come in here and take over this game, 16-1 odds for him to be MVP is rather nice. You know, I feel I need to have a little piece of that just based on the fact of we know what he can do if he is healthy. We've seen him go out there and have three touchdown performances and just take over a game. And at 16-1 odds, I mean, to me, that's stealing. And, you know, it's reflected in that 16-1 that they think he might be a little bit hurt as well, because otherwise he'd probably be at a 4-5-1 as opposed to the 16-1. But let's face it. I mean, if he is fully healthy, if he does get going, 16-1 is a very nice payoff.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it is. You know, like we've been talking about all show with Gurley, we just don't know with his health. You know what it's going to be, but what do you got to lay 100 to get 1,600? That's how it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So you got to lay 100 to get 1,600 there. You know, I'm just clarifying. You know, for the listeners there, because you didn't specify that, Jim, that you pay 100 to get 1,600. But I kind of like it because they have to ride Gurley, I think, to win this game, because if you know, he's just a special player. He's much more talented than C.J. Anderson. And if they can run him effectively, and that sets up everything to take pressure off of Jared Goff, I think I put a C-note down on it, Jim. Joe?
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? The beauty of these prop bets, too, is that you don't have to put a full C-note. You could throw $10 on. You know, and you could play several, you know, different of these prop bets. I mean, it just, you know, obviously bet with your head, but... Yeah, the 16-1 odds, you know, despite everything I've said about Gurley, why not? You know, even if it's $10.
Yeah, exactly, and that's it. You know, the thing with prop bets is that, you know, you try and play a few of them. I have actually quite a few of them going today that I like, that I'm invested in, just because, you know, look, there's no other game ever in the history of sports that gets more betting action, and a lot of that is prop bets, than Super Bowl Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's been, for the first leading up to like Wednesday, Thursday, like 80% of the people betting on this game were betting Patriots. And then we heard on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, a big gambler came in, a guy that really took it away last year and, put up $1 million bets and won a lot of it last year, came in and threw all that money down on the Rams in one day. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 million in a couple of different bets down on the Rams to win at their money line. So he thinks they're going to win outright. So it's been going back and forth, but that's the great thing about prop bets. There's thousands of them. They have so many prop bets you can, get in on, and you can even use some of the other sports in some of the prop bets where they're
one of the sides of the bet is a
basketball player and what numbers he puts up, versus what one of the football players puts up in a game. There's so many different ones
that you can get into penalty minutes versus total yardage, which is going to be higher. Awesome stuff. Trump approval rating.
It really comes down to doing some homework on some of these because a lot of them are. One thing I've found so far is people betting prop bets, they almost always want to find the prop bets that they can go over on. Well, after talking to a lot of people that have been gambling for a lot longer than I have, they tend to want to find the prop bets that they can go under on because the unders usually pay at a far higher rate than the overs do, which kind of surprised me because I really thought the overs would be the way to go. But they tend to want to favor the things that they can go under on. And, these are all things that it takes time to learn and play. But you still got to come up with what you like best, what you think is going to happen, and go with that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think, normally we know quarterbacks win the MVP. Every once in a while is a defensive player that comes out and has a monster game and he wins it. For Gurley to win it, he's going to have to have one of those two or three touchdown games where, he just takes over the game. But at 16-1 odds, like Joe was saying, throw $10 on it. You win $160.
I don't think he needs two or three touchdowns to be the MVP there. If he gets 170 yards from scrimmage and maybe scores a key touchdown there, and had a bunch of catches. Sometimes the MVP doesn't always have a huge statistical day.
Yeah, I tend to disagree with that on certain aspects because if it's not a huge statistical day, most of the time they're going to push it to the quarterback. Unless the quarterback just outright stank, it just seems to be their way. But at 16-1, I'm going to take that chance.
I would take it too.
I like that number. Okay, here's another one that most people aren't talking about. Last score of the game, and that excludes conversions, extra points, 2-point conversions.
Last touchdown of the game.
The last score of the game will be touchdown at minus 200. To clarify for Scott, if you bet 100, you actually have to bet 200 to win 100 if it's a touchdown. Any other score plus 170. Now, again, if you're looking at the game like I am, you think it's going to be a lower scoring game than people are anticipating, then for me, that leads me to believe that there's a very good chance we get a late game field goal as the final score of a game. And I love that plus 170. I think that's a nice number to get for it. And when you factor in, it could come from any other way except the touchdown. It's basically like betting the field. I think that's just a really nice bet.
When you're betting this, it's like you have to predict game flow. And it's very hard to predict game flow. It's like, you're playing whack-a-mole, when you look at a game flow. But, I think there's a game where the Patriots are going to have a healthy lead. I think at some point of probably double figures, and the Rams are going to have to play catch up, and they'll still score a touchdown, which will make it closer. But I think it'll bring it to about a touchdown. I'll talk about my final score prediction a little bit later, but I see the Patriots going up by about 10 or 13 at some point.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
It really does come down to betting game script, but that's all we have to do for almost all the props are betting game script. What do you think is going to happen? Mm. So I'm not really sure what your argument there is. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, that's okay. No, I think it's going to be a little bit closer than what Scott says. We'll talk about our predictions later in the show. But, you know, just in case, you know, Tom Brady, one of his postseason records, 12-game winning drives in the fourth quarter. So he typically plays these kind of, you know, close games where, you know, they have to come back late. So this might be a fun little prop to play.
All right, what else you got there, Jim?
Okay, next one up. I like this one. I've heard a couple people talking about it, but I still like it. Total number of different players to have a passing attempt in this game, the over and under at 2.5. So basically anybody besides Goff or Brady throws a pass in this game. The over is +110. The under is -130. You know, I know you're not getting great odds here, but both of these teams have a tendency for trick plays. You know, Edelman is on one side, is a good thrower, and the other side you got the punter, John Heckler.
Yeah, Johnny Hecker.
Who's done a great job passing the ball as well. So, you know, these are both guys that really come into play here. And, you know, one of the things, since entering the league in 2012, Johnny Hecker leads all non-quarterbacks in pass completions with 12, has 168 passing yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, and a 103.8 passer ratings, and that's including the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a very risky bet. You know, I don't see either team pull out more than one trick play here. So
all I need is one. That's all you need is one other guy to throw the ball once.
Yeah, I think it's too big of a gamble there. I'm going to steer away from it. Joe,
one of the few things that Tom Brady hasn't done in the Super Bowl is catch a touchdown pass. So, Julian Edelman to Tom Brady, Joe Galina said, tug in cheek.
Okay, how about next one? Total number of pass attempts by Tom Brady, over under at 37.5.
That's a high number, man.
That is a high number. I think he's going to get close to that, but I think he's going to go under there. The Patriots, like I said earlier in the show, definitely want to establish that power running game.
Well, here, let me throw this at you. Over the last five regular seasons, Brady averages 36.7 pass attempts per game. Over the last five postseasons, he's averaging 46.5 attempts in those games, clearing 40 throws in 11 of 13 playoff starts.
That is crazy. I'm looking 44 against the Chiefs.
The history 46. Does go with the number.
No, 46 against the Chiefs, yeah. And against the Chargers, 44. But, I mean, we're thinking that they're going to want to run the ball, but
Last two regular season games of the year was under. It was 33-24.
Well, that's right, and that's what I'm saying. In the regular season, he's been under, but in the postseason, he's been over. But then again, just so you know, if you're going with Scott's game thoughts where he thinks they're going to get up early, then that's going to change because the last two Super Bowls they've been playing from behind both of those games, of course against Atlanta, and then even last year against Philly they were playing from behind, so he had to throw. So you know, if you're really comes down to how you think the game plays out. Again, if you're like Scott and think that they get up early and it's based on the power running game, then he's not going to hit that number.
Right.
All right, we're going to have more prop bets coming up in the 11 a.m. Eastern hour as Jim gathers his papers over there at the prop desk. Coming up next, we'll be joined by ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. You can follow him at Dan Graziano. ESPN Dan has been in Atlanta all week and can give us some great insights, even though Jim thinks he's been in his dreams in the Rams locker room. Dan has actually been there. And coming up at 10:40 a.m. Eastern Time, my exclusive interview with Seahawks tight end Nick Vanette. You don't want to miss that. He'll have some interesting words to say about the Rams.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, back here on the Roto Experts of the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Super Bowl 53 Preview Edition. And to help us figure out who's going to bite the dust, whether it's going to be the Rams or the Patriots, we welcome in one of my favorites from the NFL beat. Always glad to see him in the press box when I am there. Know this guy for a while, one of the truly good guys in the business. ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. Dan, how are you? Thanks, sir, joining us this morning.
Good, Scott. How you doing today?
Good, Dan. Good to hear from you. You can follow Dan on Twitter at Dan Graziano ESPN. Dan, we've heard a lot of conjecture about Todd Gurley and how healthy he is. Sean McVay says he's going to play a, quote, significant role tonight, end quote. But significant role could be a timeshare. What are you expecting to see out of Gurley workload-wise tonight?
Yeah, that's coach speak, right? I mean, his role in the Cowboys playoff game was significant. It's just not as significant as we're used to seeing from Gurley, right? So, I think it's – look – everybody I've talked to there insists that it's not health-related, that he's healthy. Am I going to be surprised if a week or two from now we find out he had some kind of procedure on his knee, you know, some kind of post-season scope or whatever it is to get cleaned up? No, of course not. There's something in there. But they believe he's healthy enough to play at least the way he did against Dallas and much more and much better than he played against New Orleans. Of course, we'll see. I mean, I think we all hope to see him out there because you want to see both teams at full strength, and he's one of the great players in the game. But I covered that game in New Orleans. It was weird. I mean, sitting there, standing there on the sidelines while C.J. Anderson's running in the biggest game of the year, it was definitely strange.
Hey, Dan, Joe Galina, thanks for joining us today. Rams quarterback Jared Goff was one of the players who graduated to stardom in your Meet the NFL's Class of 2018 article. So what do you think are the areas that he's improved the most in? And if he needs to make a play to win tonight's game, do you think he's ready to do it?
I do think he is. And I think, you know, what we saw in the NFC Championship game against New Orleans was a quarterback who's really kind of grown in terms of his own confidence as a leader. You know, it's a game where you're down 13-0 on the road in a very tough place to play against an excellent team. Your headset wasn't working. Even when your headset was working, it was way too loud to hear anything. You know, and the teammates that I talked to after that game and in the week since all said, you know, he really sort of took command of the situation, that he never got rattled. You know, it's easy to look from the outside and say Goff is kind of boring. Like he doesn't have like a real exciting, outgoing type personality. But in cases like that, I think that helps him, right? He stays exactly the same. His teammates are not seeing a guy that rides the highs and then sinks down with the lows. He's been able to keep it even keel. And I think that what we've seen this year is a quarterback whose confidence, based on what he accomplished last year, and then the continued addition of responsibility in the offense, I think that really has had an effect on his confidence in the big moments. I think we saw that a couple weeks ago, and if he does need to show it tonight, I do think he's going to be in position to.
Dan, hi, this is Jim Day. I'm going to throw you a curveball here and get away from today's game real quick, just because something that's been lighting up my Twitter feed all night. I'm a Giants fan, so of course I love Saquon Barkley, and I love the fact that he won Rookie of the Year, and I totally believe he should. But I'm getting lit up left and right by people saying that Baker Mayfield got robbed of the Rookie of the Year honors, that Barkley shouldn't have won it. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this.
Well, I'm a big fan of the mute button and the block button on Twitter, so I think it's pretty easy to keep the nonsense out of your life if that's what you want. I mean, look, nobody got robbed. I mean, Mayfield was probably a decent choice for that award. Barkley was the better one. I mean, he had 2,000 scrimmage yards. Like, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, well, and now, okay, Mayfield's team had a better record. He had more impact, et cetera, et cetera. However you want to vote for the award, if that's the way you want to go, I can't really argue with you. But to say that Barkley was not the right choice, I think is a little bit crazy. I mean, he led the league in scrimmage yards. Like, it's a ground acquisition game. Like, nobody gained more ground than Saquon Barkley. I don't know how you can ignore that. I think it was the right decision, and I'm hearing it too. I just think it's very parochial. I think it's Cleveland fans who watched and got caught up with Mayfield and couldn't imagine anyone else being a better rookie and probably didn't see much of Saquon Barkley. But, yeah, I don't know how much you have to see when you just look at the stats and see him at the top.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree that it's provincial. You know, great point there, Dan. Getting back to today's game, you know, Josh McDaniel, everybody talks about Belichick, and but Josh McDaniel does a great job of keeping ahead of the opposition. The Rams, you know, their linebackers are very good in coverage. Wade Phillips will be expecting to see James White. Sony Michel's had a great playoff run, but maybe the Patriots, you know, they want to keep the Rams off balance, and we see more of Rex Burkhead today. Do you believe that's possible? Because you never know what McDaniels and the Patriots are going to throw at you.
Yeah, the chess game between McDaniels and Wade Phillips, you know, the Rams defensive coordinator, is really one of the big stories here, because Wade has gotten in the last couple of times. You know, when Wade was in Denver, you know, he designed some game plans that kept the Patriots out of the Super Bowl. And, you know, so he's able to do it. He knows how to do it. He enjoys doing it. And he's certainly familiar with the depth that the Patriots have at running back and how they can switch things up. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Belichick has something that he hasn't shown. And I'm sure Wade Phillips has been spending a great deal of his time trying to imagine what that might be. And whoever out-imagines the other one, that's where the game could turn. Because I do think one of the key things here is the Rams, I do believe, have the superior defense. And I think they have enough on the defensive line that they could follow that formula that we've seen in the Super Bowls that Brady has lost against the Giants and the Eagles, of if you can pressure him with your front four and drop everyone else into coverage, and you can get to him in a way that the Kansas City Chiefs could not in the AFC Championship game, I think that gives you a chance to beat him. The Rams, with Aaron Donald and Dominick Sue, Dante Fowler, that great front line they have, they're built to do that, and I think that's what gives them a chance. So does McDaniels design a plan where it's just run it down their throats, keep Donald from pinning his ears back and going after the quarterback because he has to respect the run game? And if that's the case, can that be effective? Against the Rams, who allowed 5 yards per carry in the regular season, it can be effective. But it's been a different Rams team since the playoffs started. The Saints, who had one of the best running games in the league, didn't run the ball much on them in the NFC Championship game. So you wonder if they've got a little bit of that figured out.
Hey, Dan, Pats are known for taking out an opponent's best player, right? So, I mean, they know Brandon Cooks and, you know, former Patriots. So let's say they do take him out, you know, double team him or whatnot. What do you think Goff would do? Would he be more apt maybe to use a Josh Reynolds for a big play, or maybe go to one of his two tight ends for a shorter completions over the middle to move the ball?
Yeah, Reynolds is probably a factor. He was 2 weeks ago. He can be. Robert Woods is a guy they've relied on for a number of different things. The tight ends weren't major factors for most of this year, but they can be. I mean, they trust those guys to be a part of the offense. That, to me, is one of the interesting parts of this story, right? The Patriots are famous for take away the best thing, the thing the opponent does best. With the Rams, what is that? I mean, for most of the year, for most of the last 2 years, you just said Gurley. But now Gurley disappears against the Saints, and you have to wonder if that's, you know, if that's really the way to go. So I think that's going to be curious to see early in the game. I remember a couple of years ago, when the Falcons were in the game, talking to some of their coaches before, and one of the lines that stuck with me said, you know, the first quarter is when you find out what the Patriots think of you, right? That's when you see how they're attacking you. That shows you what aspect of your game that they respect the most or that they fear the most. And I think we'll have a sense of that at some point in the first quarter when we see how Belichick has determined to try and neutralize the Rams offense, what he's keying on, and what he thinks is their best way to beat him.
Right.
Okay, next question I got for you, Dan, is I'm going to throw this out to you, is, you know, if you had to pick one player, who do you think the one player is who's going to be the biggest surprise in this game?
Surprise? See, if I could predict it, it wouldn't be a surprise, right? That's a fair question. I think...
Okay, who is your prediction to be the biggest surprise?
I mean, I don't... Let me see. I don't know. I mean, I think the Rams are going to win the game with their defense. So Aaron Donald's not going to be a surprise, and I guess Ndamukong Suh's not going to be a surprise, but I think those guys are going to probably control the game to a certain extent. So, I don't know, Dante Fowler. I mean, he had a good game against the Saints, right? If those guys are wreaking havoc in the middle, maybe he gets loose on the edge for a, you know, Brandon Graham-style strip sack late that helps the Rams win the game. I think it's going to be decided up front with that Rams defensive line.
Dan Graziano of ESPN NFL Insider. Last question for you today. Where do you obviously, you just said you think the Rams are going to win. What's going to be the final score? Who will be the MVP? Your prediction, and your prediction where one of the spots that Nick Foles has the best shot of landing.
Oh, okay. Well, I picked the Rams to win 20-17. I think it's going to be low scoring. I believe I picked Aaron Donald to be MVP. I'm obsessed with that guy. I don't know what you want to call it, man crush, whatever. I mean, I think he's the best player in the league. I think he's the best player on the field. Any game he plays, and I think that'll be the case tonight. If it's not, the Patriots could run away with it. And Foles, I guess Jacksonville. You know, it's interesting. You start to see these reports come out. The Eagles are probably going to want to have some say in where he goes. Right, like they'll work with him and they'll be respectful of his wishes. But I had a couple conversations the last few weeks where I was told that Eagles front office does not want Nick Foles to land in Washington or with the Giants. You know, where they're gonna have to play him twice a year. So Jacksonville makes some sense. Send them away to the AFC. You know, is a team you don't have to worry about until and unless you make the Super Bowl, in which case you worry about it then. But I think that's probably the leading candidate for Foles is Jacksonville, and then maybe probably not Miami. I don't know, Denver. Those two seem to stand out.
At Dan Graziano, ESPN, where you follow him on Twitter. Dan, thanks a lot for spending some time with us today. Very much appreciated. What can people read on ESPN.com from you today about Super Bowl 53?
Well, after the game, we'll have stuff up after the game. We'll have, you know, stuff off the game. We'll write during the game if it warrants it. But and then we have an annual feature that we publish right after the Super Bowl ends. It's already written, called 10 Way Too Early Predictions for 2019. So I think I look back on last year's, and I think one or two of the 10 actually came true. So, you know, if you can figure out which one or two that is, you know, maybe you need to get to Vegas. But yeah, that'd be something. That's fun. Something we do every year that we enjoy right after the Super Bowl.
Dan, thanks a lot, and enjoy the game.
All right, guys. Same to you.
Thanks.
All right, Dan Graziano of ESPN. Great stuff. Very interesting what you brought up about, Jim, about Baker Mayfield and NFL honors last night. And, you know, I think Dan's response was very much on target. It's provincial. It's a Browns fan kind of thing. Because I think if you looked it up objectively and you look at the numbers, Baker Mayfield did play impressively at times down the stretch. He was very up and down. But Saquon Barkley just, you know, proved he was a generational player. Whereas, to me, Baker Mayfield proved that he's a real piece to build around. But as to who had a better season, I don't think there's any comparison, Jim.
Look, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from Baker Mayfield. I mean, down the stretch, you said it. I mean, he played great. He had a couple of, you know, games where he wasn't as great. But, heck, he's a rookie quarterback with a team around him that's still just trying to come together. But they did second half of the year. They gave that team a little respect that they haven't had in years. And I get that. But you're talking about a running back who, you know, in an offense that didn't have a great season, behind a bad offensive line, still put up over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, only the third rookie in history of the NFL to do that. You know, I'm sorry, but at those numbers, hard for me to say he's not.
Yeah, and I'm not a Giant fan. You could accuse Jim Day of being provincial, but I don't think he is being provincial, Joe.
No, absolutely, and he brought up the great points, you know, playing behind a bad offensive line, you know, a guy that, you know, Manning looked to, threw the ball to him 91 receptions because he had to get, you know, rid of the ball quickly because he was under duress plenty of the time, and you said it perfectly, he's a generational player.
Yeah, and very interesting that Dan echoed your sentiment about that we were talking about earlier and having a debate about Todd Gurley, about how he thinks that he wouldn't be surprised to, you know, hear news that he's would have a scope ab right after the season. Mm-hmm. You said that in the 8 a.m. Eastern hour.
Yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Maybe it's because we're both Italian, me and Graziano, huh? No, but very true. I mean,
would it shock
you, Scott? And, are you?
Angelino.
Scott Angelino. I love that. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to share an espresso together one day, me and you.
Hey.
But, see, even Jim Day, you know, Jim Day's got that vowel at the end of his name. Why is sometimes a vowel? So, hey. And you got that too.
Tazola. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Super Bowl edition. We'll be stretching at noon today. And don't forget, party with Red Heat and Heat Rage at FNTSY Radio and right here on FNTSY Sportsnet YouTube, live from Studio 34 today. Listen to the wave of emotions as Cam Stewart and Gabe Morency surf through the game while riding those waves of their wagers. They've bet so much on this game, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern throughout the end of the game. It's got to be your simulcast while you watch Super Bowl 53, which kicks off after 6 p.m. Eastern tonight. Jim Day will join them as well. So, great stuff from Dan Graziano. So, but coming up next, my exclusive interview with Seattle Seahawks tight end Nick Vannett. Very interesting stuff. You'll hear from Nick about what he thinks about Super Bowl 53, how the Patriots can beat the Rams, and as a fellow tight end, professional tight end, where he thinks that Rob Gronkowski is at this point of his career. So that's coming up next. And in the next hour, we'll talk to legendary New York Mets third baseman and team captain David Wright, who's a big football fan. That's all coming up on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, the Roto Experts in the Morning, Super Bowl edition. Scott Engel, Jim Day, and Joe Galina. And get a 50% off a DailyRoto.com Elite Monthly Membership if you sign up before Super Bowl 53 kickoff. Elite packages feature access to premium fantasy content for all sports, premium lineup optimizers for FanDuel and DraftKings, access to betting tools, player props, and more. Customizable fantasy projections and rankings for FanDuel and DraftKings, professional commentary via premium podcasts, written fantasy content, and slate breakdowns, FanDuel and DraftKings ownership projections, DFS strategy guides, research tools, and lineup alerts. Just enter promo code SB53. That's promo code SB53 to get your 50% off rate on a DailyRoto.com elite monthly membership and cash in on your prop against the spread and totals wagers on the big game. That's promo code SB53 to get your discount before kickoff, 50% at DailyRoto.com today. Okay, here is my my interview with Seattle Seahawks tight end Nick Fannett. And Nick shares some of his thoughts about how the Patriots can attack the Rams tonight in Super Bowl 53 and where he feels Rob Gronkowski is in his career a lot more. Here is Scott Engel and Nick Fannett. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning, Super Bowl edition. I am Scott Engel, the Managing Director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. Here with our special guest today. Really appreciate him coming in from the Seattle Seahawks, tight end number 81, Nick Fannett. Nick, how are you? How you feeling getting ready for this Super Bowl Sunday? I know you'd rather be in the game, but, how much are you looking forward to watching it?
I think it's going to be a great matchup. It's no surprise that the Patriots snuck in there again. What is this, their fifth year in a row or something crazy like that? Obviously, the Rams are like our rivalry in a way, but I got some buddies on that team, so I'm kind of happy to see them do well and get to that level or get to that, to that point. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
You as a tight end, when you watch Rob Gronkowski, obviously you have a lot of admiration for him. Do you think that with everything that you're seeing from Gronk, do you think it might be his very last game? And even though he hasn't played at the level that we're usually accustomed to, maybe one last time he can have a big game in the Super Bowl?
It's hard to tell. This year even started, I think he was, he had some thoughts of maybe whether he wanted to play this season or not. And, then obviously he made the big announcement that he was going to play this year. And, I think it's to the point where, teams are really just trying to take him out of the game. They're like game planning for him and trying to take him out of the offense. And, they feel like if they do that, they feel confident with the other guys that they have, in the receiving corps that, they can shut down the offense. It's tough when you get double covered at the tight end. There's not really much you can do. And, it's been a tough year for him statistically, but, I think he's been unselfish with it all. And, he's been blocking his butt off and he's been doing the things that have been asked of him. So. And I know, he's been having some back surgeries and he's had some back issues and stuff like that. So, who knows, maybe it's starting to catch up with him and maybe he feels like this could be his last year. But obviously he's a legend and that's not going to take away from what he's done on the field, throughout his whole career.
Nick, you've played against the Rams obviously twice a year. What do you feel is the best way strategically and schematically to attack them as a tight end from your perspective?
I think first of all, just from an offense standpoint, like for the Patriots offense, I think if they want to do well against that defensive line and that defense, I feel like they just got to really stay committed to the run. And both times that we played them, I can't remember the numbers, but I think we rushed for at least 200 yards on them every time. That's just a testament to the guys up front and just how physical we play. And, those guys, they're pretty much pass rushers. And, Aaron Donald, he's a beast, but, he's not playing hard every play. Ndamukong Suh, he just wants to be a pass rusher. So if you really take the fight to them, they're going to eventually – they're going to want to give up. And, I saw the AFC Championship game when that last drive of the Patriots, took it down and scored to win the game. It looked like the Chiefs just gave up, because they're out physically in them. And I think if they just kind of go into the game with that, that mindset that, we're just going to run the ball down their throat And then occasionally, you know, drop a pass over, you know, over the middle and, you know, kind of work the passing game from there. But I think they're going to do pretty well against the Rams.
Talking to Nick Vinette, Seattle Seahawks tight end. Nick, you guys have a very physical running back in Chris Carson, and a guy could be complement to him in Rashad Penny. Mike Davis might not return in free agency. I was out there for the San Francisco game this year when Carson and Penny really worked well together, with one being physical and one on the perimeter. I know it's up to the coaches ultimately to decide, but do you kind of see that with the running game next year, that it might be a combination between Carson and Penny, with one guy banging on the inside and another on the perimeter?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Chris Carson is that first and second down back. You know, he's a physical back, and there's a lot of things he can do. And, I remember seeing him when he first came in. You know, he was a seventh round draft pick. And, you know, I'm looking at this kid, I'm like, how did he slip to the seventh round? Like, it was just, I mean, he's just an amazing athlete. He's physical. He can, you know, he's strong. He's quick, fast. I mean, he's got everything you want in a running back. And, I'm just happy that, you know, he came out, he had a healthy season this year, and, you know, for him to do those things, like, I mean, it didn't surprise me, because I've seen it in practice and seen the things that he can do. You know, then when you complement that with, you know, Rashad, you know, who's, you know, he's like a third down back, you know, you can split him out wide, you can do different things with him, you know, just by how athletic he is. And I mean, it just keeps the defense guessing. And, you know, I think it's you know, when you got two backs like that, you know, it's, you know, there's no limit to what you can do, you know, as an offense. So, you know, I'm excited, you know, where we're going to head into next year with what we have, you know, from a personnel standpoint.
How do you explain the incredible connection between Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett? They actually set a record for quarterback to a singular wide receiver passer rating in 2018. How do you explain that connection? And Russell's so efficient. He had a career high touchdown passes on his least amount of attempts.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, when we heard that statistic at the end of the year, I mean, it's just like, it just kind of blew our minds away. You know, Russell, he's a quarterback where, you know, he throws a beautiful deep ball. And, you know, Tyler Lockett, I mean, he had a hell of a year. You know, it's crazy for how small he is. It's like, you would not think he'd come down with these balls, but somehow he'll go up and make the catch and make a ridiculous catch. And, I mean, it's absurd. Like, the things that those two were could be able to do on the football field. And, you know, hopefully we keep that, you know, going throughout next year and the years after. And, you know, hopefully that will allow for, you know, maybe me to, you know, pop open over the middle. You know, defense is going to rely on that and maybe, you know, sleep on me a little bit. So, you know, keep that up. So, you know, open up other guys on the team.
Yeah, you know, fantasy players, there's a warning for Nick Vinette. Watch out for him in 2019. Nick, we just got a minute left. Thanks a lot for the time, and wishing you best of luck in the 2019 season. Real quick, are you rooting for the Rams because they represent your division, and what's your ultimate prediction for the game? Who's going to win, and what's the final score?
I mean, yeah, I'm just because they're in our division, and just because I know a lot of guys on the team that I train with and, you know, are buddies with, I want them to win. But honestly, it's just so hard to count out Tom Brady and the things that he's done. And I just think, you know, the way that they lost last year, I feel like they got a chip on their shoulder this year, and I feel like they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that they come out with a win. So, I mean, honestly, if it's my guess, I think the Patriots will win. I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, if I had to, you know, give you a prediction on the score, I think I would say it's probably going to be, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably going to throw out 35 to 28.
All right, Nick Vinette from 35-28. Nick Vinette from the Seattle Seahawks, thanks a lot for spending some time with us today.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
That was Nick Vinette from the Seattle Seahawks, and some very interesting takes on him. It makes me think more about from him. Makes me think more about the power running game that we talked about for the Patriots, Jim. Nick Vinette was very candid in saying, and you looked at the numbers, the Seahawks lost two close games to the Rams this year, and in both those games they rushed over 100 yards. Chris Carson had 119 yards the first meeting. The second meeting, Rashad Penny had 108, and Russell Wilson had 92. So him saying about Aaron Donald, like, if you wear that defensive line down, you can pretty much take their heart out.
Yeah, you know, in a normal season game, I might agree with him. But, you know, when you're talking about the Super Bowl, if that's the case, then they should take away his Defensive Player of the Year award right now. If anything takes you out of this game, then you don't deserve to be there. And I don't think that's going to be the case in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're going to go out and dominate the game, but I don't think they give up either. You know, they're going to be fighting right through the end. I think it's going to be a close game. So I expect them to you know, have a big part of it. And, you know, a lot of how the game comes out will be how Donald and Sue fare getting to Brady up the middle. That'll be a big tell of whether or how this game is going to flow. I get it. And that was definitely the one thing I took from, you know, what he was talking about, too, is that you can get these guys out of the game if you keep running at them. And, you know, I get that point. They are predominantly pass rushers, but they do, you know, in the playoffs, they've done a great job of stopping the run as well. Look, he's played the man. I haven't, but I don't think that happens.
Joe, you heard his comments about Rob Gronkowski, and he even thinks that Nick Vinette, you know, is a fellow professional tight end, feels like Gronk may be towards the end of the line here.
Excuse me. Yeah, it was also interesting to hear him say how unselfish that Gronk was this year. And it made me question whether or not the Patriots asked him to be more of a blocker, which he was an effective blocker this season because of their projected scheme that they wanted to run, or because of just the fact that his skills have diminished. You know, the years have taken their toll. But that's the key word that I took out of there was the unselfishness that he attributed to Rob Gronkowski. And according to Vinette, he thinks that this could be it for Gronkowski. And I kind of agree.
Well, Jim,
can I ask one real quick question based on that?
No.
I mean,
no.
Okay, I'll shut up then.
No, go ahead.
look, you know, if he does go out now, does he have enough at this point to be a Hall of Famer? Because, I mean, if you look at the top tight ends in the history of the game, Tony Gonzalez, of course, just got in, Antonio Gates, Shannon Sharp, these are all guys that played pretty much double the amount of games that Gronkowski has played so far. So does he have enough in the tank to get into the Hall of Fame at this point?
Gronkowski?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I think if he retires now, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well,
and I was asking the same question to myself. So I'm glad that you brought it up. But he obviously, you know, one of the few tight ends who've changed the game. You know, you mentioned Sharp, and you mentioned Gonzalez, and Gronkowski, definitely one of the best of all time. I know that he didn't play that long, but just what he's done and how he contributed to the Patriots' legacy with these Super Bowl wins, too. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer as well.
When he was talking about this...
You guys know I love him.
Yeah, when he was talking about the Seahawks, very interesting, you know, that he kind of agreed with what I put out there. Mike Davis, who I think could be a real sleeper as a free agent somewhere else if he gets a chance to play more. I've been on record as saying that, but maybe to a team that doesn't want to spend as much money. And, you know, the Eagles are one of them, but, you know, I can see some other places where he might land. But I think next year it's going to be a combination of Carson and Penny in Seattle, Jim.
No, I totally agree with you, Scott. No doubt. They invested heavily in the one rookie. The other guy, as Nick was saying, seventh-round pick. He didn't know how he slipped to the seventh round. And, you know, very talented, very aggressive, very strong. as a running back, and we saw that this year. But, you know, they're not just going to push Penny aside. They want to get him more involved, as we saw towards the end of this year. And I agree. I think it's going to be a 1-2 punch from the two of them. And I think Mike Davis is going to make a nice addition to another team.
Yeah, I think he is. Give that guy a chance to play. He showed what he can do this year. I think he'll be a real sleeper and somebody you want to target in a dynasty league. Nick Vinette this past season, 29 catches, 269 yards, three touchdowns, actually caught a touchdown pass in the second meeting against the Rams, three catches for 43 yards in the first. You can follow him at @N_Vinette on Twitter. We thank him a lot for coming on this morning. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have a New York Met, legendary New York Mets third baseman, team captain, and now a special advisor to the GM and CEO, David Wright. David's a big Giants fan, so we'll see what he thinks about the Giants picking up a quarterback and Saquon Barkley being named Rookie of the Year, in addition to how he did in his fantasy football league this past year. Leagues, as David has been a very avid fantasy football player over the last decade. But coming up next, we'll get back to the prop bets with Jim Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're listening to a special Super Bowl edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're going to carry you till noon Eastern.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the only free 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Calling all drivers, want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.